Funny enough, it wasn't one of the promises that God made to Abraham, but he did make that to us. Now the call of Abraham and Sarai came at a very late stage in their lives. But God said five things to them. He says, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. I will magnify your name. And I will bless those who bless you. And then, of course, in Hebrew text, there's always sort of curses going on. I will curse those who curse you. But clearly, God is saying to Abraham, there is a future out there waiting, and I'm going to take you to that place, but I'll just make you some promises. Now, I wondered how much he believed what was said, because clearly he had no land, and here he is. God is promising him to make him a great nation. And of course, he was 97, and we're not quite sure how old Sarah was, but we do know that she had gone past what we would call childbearing age. So here we are, God saying, I'm going to make you a great nation, and you know, I'm going to bless you, and there's going to be lots of people around. But there is one promise which is in the middle, which doesn't get picked out as a promise as such, and that one promise actually says that whoever you come in contact with, I will be with them always. So, take everything you've got, which is the bit we talked about earlier on about doing that journey. And I should think, in doing all this, the one thing he probably didn't forget was his toothbrush. But he took everything, even his nephew Lot, because he was getting of an age where he needed a younger person around. And off we go. I'm going to send you to a place that only I know where you're going. Now, those of us who know the story very well know that over time their names were changed, and they got into a situation where they were in a tent, and there were a group of men who actually presented a threat to Sarah, and she was almost going to be kidnapped. And obviously, Abraham was able, with God's help, to intervene and to save her. We then know, obviously, that Abraham was able, with the help of God, to produce a son. He had the first son, which was a little bit unexpected because it wasn't really God's plan. And it's funny, isn't it, how we do that in our lives. God makes us all these amazing promises. And he also says, with me, all things are possible. But we just don't believe that. So we had to intervene, as Sarah did, because she just couldn't wait for that promise to become a great nation to come through. So she gave, as we know, her servant to Abraham to say, go, 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 hurry up and have babies. And of course, along came Ishmael, and then Sarah regretted what she did. So from starting off with a sense of no land, of an age where you can't have children, suddenly here we are, they're beginning to get settled, and Abraham is beginning to have children. And then we know that through Isaac, that the heritage line continues. So we've got the promises, and here we are. We are now living through what God wants us to do. Even though the promises are so powerful, there is this real sense of leaving everything that we have behind. Now, I don't know how many of us in our context today would be willing to do that. Our world is such a small world, that even if you did decide to leave this beautiful part of the world because that's what God was asking you to do, just making sure that his promises were true and that you would continue to hold on to those. Let's just bring the story then of Abraham and Sarah up to current day context. One of the things that would describe what they're doing now is displacement. And that is something that is happening in our world more and more. But sadly, the people who are displaced aren't hearing five promises from God. They're not doing so because God is promising them a land or to become a great nation. They're doing so because they're caught up in war, in conflict, in economic situations, and in persecution. I've just got some really sad figures to share with you now. Apparently, there are over 70 million people in the world today who have been forced to leave their homes. They're doing so because of war, conflict, lack of resources, poverty, political instability, and in some cases, environmental disaster. The UN refugee estimates that there are 3.9 million people who are displaced, and of that, there's 40% of them are children. We noticed in our story with Abraham, there was no mention of children being taken on this journey, but we live in a world today where there are a number of children who are displaced, who have no family. Thankfully, they're on a journey and God is guiding them. But of the 70 million this morning that we think about that have been displaced, a proportion of them have actually been offered asylum. I know that you're a fairly quiet congregation and you haven't quite got used to me yet. And one of the things I do tend to do, which the churches now in Sheffield have, so people are a lot more responsive. I'm just going to throw out a question. And, you know, as I said, as far as I'm concerned, there are no wrong answers. So can you tell me, if you're able to, which country has taken in most of those 70 million people? There are three countries that came to the top of the list.
Greece?
Yes? No, they weren't there. There's one place that you would never think of. But Turkey was correct. Turkey was there and Germany was there. Greece was there. Yeah. Sorry?
Germany,
yeah, because they made their announcement quite public, didn't they? About how many people they were taking.
China?
Actually, China wasn't on the list, which I was really surprised about. I think they've taken in some people, but they weren't up there at the top of the list. It was Afghanistan. Yeah, Afghanistan. Which, when you think of their own situation that you know that they're struggling with, that they've been able to take people in. The other sad thing is a lot of people who were displaced, and in the Bible study we looked at the journey that Abraham and Sarah and you know and everyone was making, because he would have taken all these animals, so it's almost like a real troop of people traveling together. We looked at their journey, and they were going a long way. They were crossing over a number of other borders and of other countries. But in the context of people being displaced today, the majority of them are also in neighbouring countries. So places like Lebanon, that sometimes we forget to think about, have quite a number of people who are displaced. But sadly, Syria is there at the top of the list. They make up the majority of that 70 million people that are displaced. And that situation continues. So for Adam, Sarah and the family, they're on a journey. God's made them some promises. They're not quite sure where they're going, but they know that they have a life ahead of them. We now, in our context, in our world, live in a world where people are being displaced, are being discriminated against, and are struggling with even, you know, making life together. Children are losing their lives, and most people really are finding it really hard to find a country that is welcoming. So what can we do? What can we do? There is work that is going on to find enduring solutions, to remove obstacles that are in place and to help people to return home. So where people are fleeing because of economic situations, there are efforts being made to make sure that they get back home. Political situations take a lot longer to sort out. So again, there is work there that's been done. But what can we do in this small bit of the world where we live? What can we do? Well, there are two things, and of course at the top of the list has to be that we continue to pray for these situations and these challenges that all these people face, because the 70 million people that are out there that have been forced to leave their homes is equivalent to the whole population of the UK. So that's a lot of people that have nowhere to call home. We can pray. We can remember to hold these people up in our prayers. We can begin to raise awareness. That's what we're doing this morning, of that situation of people who, over time, for whatever reason, all those lists of things, war, conflicts, famine, all the reasons why people feel they need to pick everything up and find a new home. We need to raise awareness about that. And where there are issues of inequality and discrimination, we need to make sure, and persecution, we need to make sure that people are aware that this is happening. So we need to raise our voices and be willing to speak out. All of this requires courage. And it doesn't come easy. But with the help of the Holy Spirit, and with the help of stories like this promise, all these promises that God's made to Abraham and to Sarah, as they go forward, we know that we're able to do this. When we talked about the women in Zimbabwe on Friday, one of the things that really struck me was it's a long journey. And Abraham's journey is also a long journey. And for someone who's displaced, who has nowhere to call home, it's an even longer journey. We're asking for us to journey through Lent. 5 weeks, we can see an end. If you've given up something rather than taking up something, you know that in 5 weeks' time, you can start eating chocolate again and drinking coffee. But Abraham and Sarah didn't quite know when their journey was going to end. And for 70 million people this morning, they don't know where their journey or when their journey is going to end. So for us this Lent, as we journey through these next 5 weeks, it is important that we remember the promises that God's made. And the fact, as we remember so beautifully in our anthem, that God is with us. So we need to take the Word of God with us as our compass and our map to guide us through this time as we travel through life. And may the promises that God, even though they may be quite old-fashioned now, so a great nation, God still says, I will bless you, and I will bless those who bless you. So may that promise that God made to Abraham be for us today. May God continue to bless you, and may you bless those that we meet as we journey through life.